Welcome back to the Jojatorium.
Well, I think remember too, whenever it was, we found the German Scheisser porn.
Let's not lie to each other. You're in twerk classes over there.
That's what
That's all it is. The fitness class.
Working on them TikTok videos you like so much.
Dead face.
Just cut right in front of you.
Welcome back to Jojatorium. You know who it is. It's Adam. It's Matt. We're decaying with the boys. And Happy New Year. Don't make a resolution. Just be the same you. Eat some cheese sticks, punk. Do you have a business that needs direction? How about a crisp new media packet? Well, how about assistance in developing a business plan? Well, First Sip Studios has you covered. Headed up by Dennis and Samantha Guy, First Sip Studios brings your ideas to life. From the first major project in She Knows Beer to their current expansion into Columbus, Ohio, First Sip Studios has the business acumen to bring your vision to the next level. So just head on over to firstsipstudios.com, but just make sure you tell them that the boys sent you. Welcome back. This is our first show of the new year.
Happy New Year.
It feels good. You survived. You had a huge blowout over here.
I did.
People showed up.
The basement is still in a little bit of dismay.
But. Yeah. No cops were called.
No cops.
That, which is good.
Everybody got home safe.
And you served up some incredible beer. You served up the Merry Crisis.
Merry Crisis was a big hit. Yeah. A little bit of the bubbly, big hit. Might have to rename it. We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Surprise, yeah. You can't name beers after people sexually assault people.
kick the English special bitter.
Yeah.
So it's all going good. The marshmallow was almost gone. But that's for the end of the podcast. But, yeah, went through a lot of beer.
This is incredible, yeah.
Stay tuned to see what's coming up.
Yeah, we got some really cool stuff coming to the taps in the very near future.
Yeah.
And some changes, some rebranding. It's a new year, new us.
Hell yeah.
So the other thing I want to talk about, Adam, you know, you had a really good 2023 when it came to the Brew Lab and all. You got some really cool accolades.
Absolutely.
In 2023. You should know that this podcast, thanks to all those people out there, this podcast got to do some really cool stuff too.
Oh, you're a winner, Matt?
I am a winner. It feels good. So just so you guys know, because of all of you, everyone who's listening right now, you're watching right now, however you guys are consuming this.
Subscribed on YouTube.
Of course you are, because the numbers don't lie. When we first came back, we didn't have video. We were just kind of putting up some clips and some like audiograms.
Audio-only podcast.
Which was, you know, we had to do that for some reasons here. But then we started to come back at 40 subscribers and around 2,000 views. But by the end of 2023, you guys got up to 79 subscribers and 11.1 thousand views on our YouTube. We couldn't do that without you guys.
It's huge.
It's
in only a few
so
months.
Cool. Yes. Yeah, in a very short amount of time. And
I mean, that's only since we went back to video. So that's October, maybe? Yeah.
So you guys just showed up.
Very cool. That's awesome.
So if you guys are watching here, like, thank you. And tell your friends, subscribe to us and see why we're in your algorithm, while we're playing, you know, we have our shorts, we have our full episodes, we have the podcast published over there now too. So you can get us any way you want to over at YouTube.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And also you should know that we became the reigning, defending, number one spot in all of indie sports podcasts on Good Pods, because somebody thought it was a smart idea to take our pro wrestling title off of us because we talk about other sports.
Well, we wow, do. Wow.
But the joke's on you, motherfuckers.
Dominate there, too.
Because we dominate that sports podcast realm, baby. We're the number one podcast for sports on all of Good Pods.
You talk about actual fighting.
So we thank you guys so much for those two things. We never thought we'd be able to do things like this. And it's because of you guys we get to do it. So thank you very much.
Rep it.
Just, you know, Keep going hard for us. We'll keep going hard for you. We're going to keep making stuff that makes you giggle, and we'll keep pushing forward. Maybe we'll try some new stuff. Who knows?
Yeah. You know? I mean, we already evolved. We added some Cutman's Corner since the podcast came back, and the Ground and Pound, which I've gotten lots of great feedback about the Ground and Pound segment.
Yeah. It's been a lot
of fun. Just to kind of break it up between always doing Mount Rushmore. So, yeah. Yeah. Put the Mount Rushmore will be back. Bets of Doom will be back. I still owe you a punishment. I just
realized.
Oh,
that's right. I can't believe the guy who wrote all the notes didn't put the punishments in.
We'll figure it out. I also haven't figured out a good punishment other than making you eat spicy stuff. So,
but I mean, that is we'll my kryptonite. Yeah. My kryptonite comes with firm cell walls and Scoville counts. So, Adam, we are in round one.
We sure are.
And I brought a beer, but you did the research. Put it all together. What do we call it? Round one beers. What are we drinking?
Got it. So, a little spoiler alert for both rounds tonight. We're drinking barrel-aged selections because they've been collecting down here in the Judgetorium. I realized it after the New Year's as I was, you know, doing a little winter cleaning. So, I was like, let's get some barrel-aged.
Yeah.
And you brought this one to me, not expecting it to be on the podcast, but I said, let's do it on the podcast a few weeks ago. It is Dented Keg Brewing Company's Barrel Aged Series Pumpkin Ale, aged for 13 months in Heaven Hill bourbon barrels. And I love Heaven Hill bourbon barrels. It's coming in 8%, and Dented Keg is out of Mars, PA.
Yeah. So while he's fishing around for that opener,
I pre-cut the wax. Yeah, I've learned from past episodes.
Yeah, we have fucked up before. There you go. So if you want to know what's going on Dented Keg, you search them on all social media, Dented Keg Brewing. I believe they do have Instagram and Facebook, and there's a dentedkeg.com. So while Adam's pouring that bad boy, I should know that this was brought to us by a friend of mine, and he was out there one day, and they're like, hey, we're selling these things. How many do you want? He goes, one. And then he sends out text messages, and the waitress comes back like, here's your one. He goes, can you put four more on? And then she came back again. He's like, two more. So he brought back almost like half a case of these things. But you took your first sip. Adam, why take mine? Why don't you let him know what's going on here?
So yeah, I smell the bourbon. I taste some of the barrel. It's weird though. I don't know why I expected it to be a stout. And it literally just is a pumpkin ale.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought pumpkin stout. And I took that first sip and it kind of rocked me a little bit. Tastes a little funky.
There's a funk
probably
there.
Just from the barrel, but good pumpkin spice, not overly spiced. Still has that pumpkin spice. It was bottled on October 12th, so a few months ago. Holding up. There's a bubble. You got it. it's a fine barrel aged beer.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I expected some more bells and whistles. I don't know. It's
tastes thin.
That's what I was going to say. You know what it tastes like to me? Just a pumpkin ale.
Look, no, I get the bourbon.
I don't.
But it kind of, like, coming from the homebrew realm.
Maybe I have COVID.
Coming from the homebrew realm, it tastes like a pumpkin ale that you just put, like, oak cubes in.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a common hack for homebrewers on small batches. You can just, like, soak some oak cubes in some bourbon and throw that in for a few weeks. Tastes like that. It doesn't taste like it's been aged for 13 months.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I guess that's why I was kind of hoping.
Probably needed a little more body going into the barrel to come out a little thicker. I don't know. I just expect. It almost tastes like when you get a wild ale or a Saison that is barrel aged.
Yeah.
It's like that thin and dry.
Mm-hmm.
It just needs a little more.
Something. Yeah. A little kick. The spices are good, though. I do like the spices. That does come through really nice. It's crisp as much as it can be for a barrel-aged ale. So
yeah, it's a problem. I don't like crisp in a barrel-aged.
Yeah.
I like that sweet, heavy bottom.
You're not getting that here.
That heavy finish.
Yeah, so if you're looking, I mean, here's what I'll say. If you're looking for a slightly elevated pumpkin ale, this hits the mark. But if you're looking for a barrel-aged pumpkin ale, I'm not sure if this really hits all the cylinders that you'd be looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be curious to try it up against like a Southern Tier. They barrel-aged some of their...
Yeah,
pumpkin ales and pumpkin stouts. So.
Nothing beats a good pumpkin stout aged. That stout,
dude. I'll tell you what, any stout that's aged in a barrel,
gimme some.
I like it.
Yeah, and who knows? We might have some shit like that.
I might be in a collab with some shit like that coming out soon.
Ooh, shit, secrets.
Hey,
2024, the age of bash brew. So, Adam, while we're sipping on this this beer from Dented Keg.
I mean, I don't hate it enough
to not drink it.
To not drink more of it.
We are going to go into some combat sports news from Buckle to Bellator. I'm back. The boys bringing you the best combat sports news in the biz. So there is some Hollywood bloodshed here. So a couple quick hits for you, Adam. If you weren't aware of this, Jimmy Kimmel wants to break open Aaron Rodgers' face over the Jeffrey Epstein comments he made. What did he say? Basically put Jimmy Kimmel on the plane, the Lolita Express.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel fired back saying, you're an asshole for doing that. You put my family in danger.
Yeah, I mean, it was a side comment on, I think it was on the McAfee podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Like, who doesn't talk shit on the McAfee
and then,
podcast?
Yeah, before? Right. And it was like a side off comment. Like, Aaron Rodgers and Kimmel have some sort of
beef.
Wild beef, yeah. Going back for whatever reason. I think
they both.
I think political views.
They both kiss Olivia Munn.
But yeah, I don't get it. And like Jimmy Kimmel just ran out and was like, "I'm gonna sue you because you put me in danger."
As well, I haven't seen anything about his family being in danger.
That's a weird clapback from a comedian.
Yeah,
he used to be funny, dude.
Well, yeah, I always thought there'd be more
I mean,
heat.
Aaron Rodgers also used to play football.
Yeah, now he just eats hiawatha and shits himself.
Achilles.
I'm going to a dark room. My ankle hurts.
But, yeah, it's a weird feud.
Hey, but real quick.
I did hear about it this week.
If we booked him in a match, what would be the stipulation and who would win?
I mean, exploding Texas death match would be fine because – I don't care who wins. I hope the time expires and just
I want it to be.
But Aaron Rodgers is definitely winning. I mean, he's an athlete.
Oh, absolutely.
Even with his bum ankle, like his Achilles tendon torn, he's kicking Jimmy Kimmel's ass.
Can I? Let me throw it out to you this way. I want it to be loser gets vaccinated, and I want Kimmel to win. So Aaron Rodgers is like, no, I'm immunized. I don't need the jab. The jib jab, I don't need that. And Kimmel's like, you're going to take this bitch and just slow.
Shoots it right into his other Achilles tendon.
Oh, that one's ruptured too. I'll never be a Jet again. So, Adam, another one here is Mickey Mouse went public domain and the horror community went absolute apeshit. There are three horror-based Mickey movies that started production. They released teaser posters and subsequently got their cease and desist letters.
One got released all... in total already because it was short. It was like a 7-minute short, The Steamboat.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Did you see it?
No, I have not seen it. In all honesty, the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey movie ruined all this crap for me.
That didn't whet your appetite?
No.
That shit movie didn't get you all
excited?
But
I will look it up. So it is the Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse on public domain. I mean, I'm not a legal professional. How can they get a cease and desist if it's public domain?
Because they're trying to say that even though it's Steamboat Mickey, that they're relying heavily on the Mickey Mouse persona and Mickey Mouse in totality.
I will agree on the one movie poster I saw. It looks more like, ha-ha, Mickey. Yeah,
yeah. They kind of strayed away from Steamboat. Because Steamboat Mickey, I mean...
it's black and white.
Yeah, very
I saw red and yellow on the one I saw. Like,
so that's how you kind of get... you're getting jammed up.
It's a money grab. It's a money grab, like... like everything else is right now. Like Christmas horror this year was bad. Everybody was throwing one out.
And none of it was good.
Nope.
I didn't see a single one.
But go check out Thanksgiving because that was that was the seasonal horror film of the year for me.
Also, don't forget to go check us out on Halloween is Forever because we talked about Santa Stein.
So, we sure did.
Yeah. So go back in December and you can listen to Halloween is Forever.
Talk about a money grab.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, I mean, they probably didn't make much money on it.
Hey, $25,000 budget.
They got $10 off of us.
As I'm saying, they certainly fucking did. And I can't get it back. I tried. So speaking of trying here, trying and failing and being a miserable jerk bag, Chris Jericho is in a whole world of trouble. We're not here to rehash everything that's been going on, but in summary, there is a sexual assault allegation against Chris Jericho that says that he cornered Kylie Rae, one of the hottest free agents at the time, and she was going to wrestle for AEW, and
she was there for she was there for the original All In, right?
And allegedly, Jericho invited her back to a meeting and then cornered her and got very not cool. Like,
go with that. Yeah. Allegedly.
Because I don't know everything. You know what I mean? So I would say he just got, like, he became a real cool guy.
But I mean, it is known that she did leave kind of abruptly from AEW.
Right. One of the hottest stars in the female division.
And she also left pro wrestling in general for a while after
quoting mental health concerns.
Right.
So, I mean, you have all this going on, and we've seen the way AEW handles very sensitive situations when it comes to their wrestlers, like altercations. Phil?
Not well.
But so how do you handle one of your founding members in a sexual assault allegation? Like, how do you think that they would go about taking care of that?
I will go a little deeper into it, because the backstory is, on Christmas Day at 4 a.m., Chris Jericho went and disputed what CM Punk and Ace Steel's attorney was saying about
the
NDAs. Yeah. And he said he never had to sign an NDA. Went off his rocker at 4 a.m. on New Year's, going from New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. Been there before. You get
heard
into the
that.
Some people get into bottles that night. I get it. But don't post on X at that point. And said something about he's never signed an NDA, which opened him up to the wrestling dirt sheets. And one of the dirt sheets that's tied to Chicago, I don't know if they're tied to Punk, said, yeah, but what about the people you make sign NDAs? And that's what got this ball rolling again. Because I do remember bits and bobs coming out when the Me Too movement was going on.
Yeah.
Jericho.
His name was coming out.
Was coming out a little bit, but it got quelled pretty quickly.
You know, that's the thing, too. Like, it boiled up quick and then went down just as quick.
For him. For some reason.
Yeah.
I've seen MeY2J memes everywhere. But what do you do about it? Like, this week he's been kept off. He was on the pay-per-view still after these allegations.
Yeah.
Which was weird. He was still on World's End.
Ate him alive.
Don't agree with that call, because he got, eaten alive. I think we both watched it from our respective homes live.
Wow.
He got torn up. There were signs in the crowd about it.
Got me the best was just the simple NDA sign.
Yeah.
That guy made that sign in line to get into the stadium. He's like, well, fuck this guy.
What you do is keep him off TV like they did for Dynamite this week. We'll see how long that keeps. You definitely don't have him going into what they were setting up for was a tag program against the champs with him and Sammy Guevara called the Sex Gods. You definitely don't
do that.
Definitely stop that.
Yeah.
Do not have him involved in anything, probably on TV. Definitely not about being a sex god.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Until the allegations. I'm not here to say he did it, didn't do it, whatever. We're not here for that. That's the allegation that came up.
Yeah.
He's in a tag team called the Sex Gods. Just distance that. That's all I'm saying.
It's called toning it down.
I will say, in general, my opinion of Chris Jericho is he's a douchebag. I don't know if he's did anything beyond that. But Kylie Rae did leave abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really give a reason.
Right.
So
she's liking a lot of tweets on
against
X.
Him. Yeah, I did see that.
And let me just tell you, for a woman who decided to step away from her only income because she was still is. She's come out a couple times.
Sounds like she might have had to sign an NDA.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Do emojis That's violate an NDA?
Allegedly, she might have.
Allegedly, but she never saw it. Where's Jim Cornette? Where's Jim?
Oh, he has a great take on it.
Jim Cornette lost his fucking
mind.
Well,
that's also the lawyer who's representing Punk and Ace Steel.
Yep.
Is like a sponsor of his podcast.
Dude.
So they all know each other. It's really fun. If you really want a good breakdown, and slightly biased breakdown of it, the Jim Cornette Experience podcast has a more in-depth, more opinionated take on this whole thing.
Yeah, you're going to have to like use AI or something to search through, because it's like a 5.5 hour podcast. You gotta like
where Cornette's even more pissed because he's like on break for that week between New Year's and
God damn it!
And this broke on Christmas Day, and he's like, "What the fuck?" I'm gonna try to find him when I'm down in Kentucky.
So moving on here,
me and him have a lot in common.
What, you and Jim Cornette?
Oh yeah, we have the same. Well, not lifestyle.
I say there's a lot of things that you guys don't connect on.
Right, not lifestyle, but about the wrestling business.
Okay. I do like that.
Yeah.
But speaking of people who may have checkered past.
Speaking of douchebags.
Conor McGregor re-enters the UFC fray. So New Year's Day saw the return of the notorious one, Conor McGregor, as he emerged from the rolling green hills to declare himself a fighter once again. So he says he'll step into a fight with the most formidable foe in a hungry, violent, mid Michael Chandler, the guy who's gone 2-3 in the UFC. He's had some wins over some mediocre talent, but we'll talk about that here in a second.
No, he had a win over
who?
Ferguson. In his prime, when Ferguson was before Ferguson got completely broken. Yeah,
completely broken.
I'll talk about it.
Okay,
I'll wait for your prompt.
Okay, because we're gonna pit him.
Okay,
but what I'm saying, McGregor, like you can tell that McGregor still tells Dana White what to do because he's like. On June 29th, 2024, during International Fight Week, I'm having this match against Michael Chandler. It's going on. And even though the fight is not sanctioned at this time, at the time of this podcast, we're recording on a Friday. It's not even sanctioned yet. But DraftKings, those cheeky bastards, could not help themselves. They put out a line having McGregor as the favorite with a 54.4% chance of victory against
those. How do you even do that before it's sanctioned and scheduled?
And how do you do that against a guy?
You should have a bet if it's going to actually happen or not.
Oh, it's going to happen.
It's
going to happen. Dude, McGregor's been shooting horse steroids into his dick for the last how many months?
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to get sanctioned.
I think it's going to get sanctioned.
Because of said horse steroids.
Well, he's had time to clean out. He's at 185. Thick.
Is International Fight Week in Saudi Arabia this year?
Or? Oh, if it is, dude, then anybody can fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
This bottle right here could fight Deontay Wilder.
If it's in Vegas, he might have a problem.
If it's in Vegas, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Before you punch somebody in the head.
Yeah, because they're fighting at 185, which is
way above
40 pounds up, I believe, from where he was dominant. The Conor McGregor,
Dude, he does the thing that I do when I get drunk. He's like, one eye keeps like going in. He smiles at everybody.
So
like,
that's my whole take on whether this is even legit or not, because he was clearly drinking when he shot the Instagram video or Twitter video.
But who isn't drinking whenever they're putting up things on Instagram and X and everything? Not us.
Everything we do.
All my YouTube shorts and shit. Daddy's drinking. Thank you, Opus Clips, for helping me out. Because I wouldn't do it by myself.
Especially for Barrel Age Week.
It hits. It hits a certain kind of way. But speaking of hits, these two going head-to-head here, like I previously said, McGregor hasn't fought since 2021. He broke his leg against a trilogy wrap-up match against Dustin Poirier. And his last victory occurred even further behind that against an aged and on-the-way-out cowboy Donald Cerrone. UFC 246 in January of 2020. So it's been... Realistically, it's going to be like 4 years before he really gets into a legit match because that he broke his leg inside the first round.
Right.
So, whatever. And then Chandler, like I said, is 2-3 in the UFC with wins over Tony Ferguson and Dan Hooker.
I mean, it's definitely 4 years since his last win.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Over 4 years since his last win.
So, I mean, who are you taking? I mean, like, you got these
Chandler.
Two. You take Chandler?
Chandler.
Chandler, what?
Hands down.
By what?
First round TKO.
You think first round?
I think he's going to ground and pound him to a stoppage.
I think it's a second round submission for McGregor.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. I just don't think he's going to be ring conditioned on whatever substances he's maybe taking.
Sildenafil.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
He took that one picture in the mirror. His dick was hard as a rock.
Did you see that thing? I don't disbelieve. Yeah.
He was like, he's pointing at the camera. He's like, I'm ready for this. And it's like, bro, put it away.
It was like when he was going against Mayweather. And he kept getting up on the stage, just like
this huge lead singer.
Poking him. Wouldn't say huge.
Hey, man.
For an Irishman, yes.
Well,
I'm Irish. Like,
from the neck up.
Good show, bro. I don't know. I think his supplement usage was part of the fact that his leg broke. So
yeah, I think so
obscurely
too.
Like without, it was just taking a weird movement on it. It wasn't really getting a strike on it. Like,
yeah, it was odd.
It was very odd.
Yeah.
I think he's fragile now. He hasn't been in the ring for a good minute. even if Chandler's in there losing, he's at least been in there.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think I think Chandler's a wrestler, and McGregor hasn't done good against a wrestler in quite a few years.
McGregor just got his black belt. I'm calling it second round submission.
Second round submission. First round, go home.
I wouldn't be surprised though, because Chandler does have a pretty heavy hand game. So,
I mean, Chandler's older from when he was,
of course,
dominating Ferguson too. But like,
but also, I mean, if we're looking at these guys. You're looking at Ferguson and Hooker. Dan Hooker wasn't really anything except into the ring against Chandler at the time.
He was top four.
Yeah, but he was a fragile four, man.
Yeah, I mean, and Chandler came in from Bellator, I believe.
Yeah, well, but so did Chandler.
No, I'm saying Chandler came in from Bellator. Okay. I don't know where Hooker came from. I think he was UFC homegrown. But Chandler was like a Bellator stud.
Yeah.
He came into the UFC and kind of...
He faltered. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think he's still top.
Chandler?
Probably top five, top six.
Right now?
Maybe top 10. Probably top 10 now because he hasn't fought in a while.
Top
10,
I would say. Top five is a stretch.
Yeah, top five is a stretch at this point.
So, Adam, we're going to go into your favorite segment of the first round.
Who's going over? Who's jobbing, bitches?
A little bit of going over a jobbing.
Ooh.
So, as we saw, The Rock did make his return to the squared circle during an interrupted segment by
Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal.
Hey, Triple H.
Great job, Triple H.
Promised a former champion.
He delivered two.
And he delivered two.
So, The Rock's return. Adam, does it relegate Cody Rhodes, who will likely phase out for some time in the championship scene? Because The Rock has declared himself to be the person who will fight Roman Reigns. Australia wants The Rock
as well,
for Elimination Chamber.
Right.
But do you put The Rock on a premium live event that isn't a premium live event, despite the fact that Australia has made this contractual agreement that they can pull the strings and get who they want? I mean,
So I will say, and I looked up the stats and listened to a couple podcast and read a couple news stories. That Perth show is going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's like a couple thousand people down from what WrestleMania is going to be.
Oh,
it's a big stadium.
Okay.
So what I think is going to happen is The Rock will be in a different program in Perth.
Okay.
I think he'll probably go against
Waller. Sikoa or something.
No, who's the hometown boy? Waller, right?
Yeah, Waller.
Is Austin Theory's boy?
Yeah.
I think we'll go against him, job him out, whatever. I think Cody Rhodes, it's a hot take. This isn't in the news stories. I think Cody Rhodes might beat Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber.
Really? And just set
and
up
then
for,
the titles
Roman
off. Because you have Rock. Roman, then you have Roman Rock for
the table,
the head of the table at WrestleMania. Still main event worthy.
Yeah,
fine.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And have Cody Rhodes defend against whoever wins Elimination Chamber or whoever won Rumble or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have Seth Rollins defend against
Damian Priest. Can we get the briefcase off Damian Priest?
Priest Rhodes would be pretty cool.
I would like that a lot.
But I don't think he's out of the title picture. There's no way they can do that to him. I would feel so bad.
You would hope not.
In a Vince McMahon run WWE, they would totally
do it. Well, Vince McMahon run program, Cody Rhodes doesn't even come back.
But Rhodes did so much for them to get them back into the scene.
That's true.
You can't fucking do him dirty. Triple H can't do him dirty. Vince McMahon can do him dirty.
Yeah, well, the mustachioed one
isn't
calling the shots.
So that's my fantasy booking is Reigns loses it before Mania. Also not a very sexy pick, but they're also not running a huge stadium for Mania this year. It's not,
that's true.
It's not, it's not Texas.
Isn't it?
It's Philly. It's like 70-some thousand. They're not going to break a record with it.
No.
And I think Perth, Australia is like going to be 67,000. So it's...
Okay.
They're going to get a big thing. And the thing with Perth is it's all paid. Like, supposedly due to, like, open transparency laws, like, it's been seen that Perth's, like, tourism board's paying for this whole thing.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, like, WWE's, like, giving them what they want.
Which is incredible because Australia
which means
wouldn't
I think
let
the Rock
shit down there.
I think The Rock will be there.
Yeah.
I don't think you do a title unless you have The Rock lose.
Which, how you could do Roman,
Brock loses in Perth. I don't know.
Then you have Roman go into WrestleMania against Cody Rhodes with all that backing, and then he would lose and it'd be a bigger
pop. Your other option is to have like Reigns versus Rock night one and then Rhodes Reigns night two, but then that makes Rhodes look
weaker.
Weaker because he had a fight the night before. Like, I don't like that either.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I
don't mind having Reigns, Rock, Perth. If Reigns wins.
Yeah. But
I think that's also Rock send-off, unless you do something with the Rock and Mania still with somebody else. But the big payday is with Reigns. Like, it's tough. It's a real booking conundrum.
I think it is, too.
But I think Rhodes has to be in the picture somehow.
I think it all really depends. So I'll say this. I don't think you're going to see a Rhodes match like that caliber at Elimination Chamber. But if he doesn't win Royal Rumble, you're not going to see... You're not going to see him taking on them for that title.
You don't think?
Nope.
Well, so here's the thing. But if he doesn't win Rumble, he could win Chamber. I think Punk's winning Rumble. Codes is winning the Chamber.
Oh, God. I hate that. That's even a thing. Like, it's...
There's two titles. That's the problem. You got that.
I know.
I think you're getting a Punk Rollins Mania. Or it's the vice versa. Rhodes wins Rumble.
You don't have to appease me. I just fucking hate that idea.
But then it's also Rhodes wins Rumble 2 years in a row. I don't like that.
That's
either.
Tough. Yeah.
So it's like you could have Rhodes win Rumble and Punk win Chamber, but.
But then you're doing is you're giving Cody Rhodes consolation prizes. Because at that point, too, if you're going to give him Chamber and then line him up.
No, I agree. Yeah, I think Rhodes deserves to win the championship off of Reigns. However it happens, that's how it needs to play out. If you want to do a Punk Rollins program, I don't really care.
I don't like it.
Who wins that? But I like that program.
I don't like it at all.
Why?
I just don't like it because I don't like... How are you going to absolutely jump some of the names that need to be in a program right now that you have like your heat with? CM Punk doesn't need to be chasing belts because he already moves too much. You don't need that shit. But... Like, you have L.A. Knight. You have him waiting in the wings for something. You have Damian Priest with...
How about if you could have Priest beat Rollins for the belt ahead of time, too.
That's true. Or, I'll do this for you. How about Rollins, Punk? Punk goes over, Priest comes out, pins Punk, takes the belt.
I'm cool with that.
I'll take that.
I'm cool with that.
Because the match between Rollins and Punk's going to be awesome, but I just don't want gold on Punk. Because
I think your program for L.A. Knight is after Rhodes wins it. That's...
Him and Rhodes?
Him and Rhodes would be...
That'd be good.
Fucking huge for Money in the Bank or something. Or SummerSlam.
So sticking with wrestling here, Adam...
I still think L.A. Knight... L.A. Knight should get one of the mid titles on
like
him.
Like a U.S. championship?
Mania. U.S. or Intercontinental at Mania.
Intercontinental, that's meant for... No. It's going to be U.S. championship, I think.
You don't think he can beat Gunther?
I don't want him to.
But, I mean, that would be a huge push for Knight.
It'd be a huge push.
It would be a great match to just have him beat Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Or is that, no, it's the other Paul.
It's Logan Paul. You're right, Logan Paul.
Am I right?
Jake Paul's the boxer, Logan Paul's the wrestler.
Right. Okay.
But I would really like to see, because here's the thing too, like in the realm of it right now, Gunther better than LA Knight, hands down. Gunther is, can't miss TV.
In ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the stick.
But LA Knight
stick.
On the stick.
Yeah, exactly. But then like how do you have them.
Did you just say yeah?
Yeah.
There you go.
Let me talk to you, dummy. So, but what I'm saying, I think you can't really have them in a program because you need someone who's a little more like a Chad Gable. I mean, I think I think Gable's destined for the IC title. I like that a little more.
Well, I'm saying even if Knight beats him, it's not Knight's not going to hold it for long either. No. Like Knight's going to lose it and get pushed up.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, you also got to push. Gunther deserves to get pushed up.
Yeah, but he's holding that IC title so well.
This is the biggest discussion we've had on going over a job. We're trying to book from now till Mania without Rumble even happening yet.
I know.
Which I love.
I do love Rumble. But speaking of Rumble, didn't you wanted to try to get more people to show up?
Oh, we doing that right here? I could do it at the end of the show, but I will do it right now. I would like to announce, and I will reiterate it at the end of the show. Yes, if any of our listeners are secretly pro wrestling fans and live in the Pittsburgh area, we are going to watch the Royal Rumble down here in a watch party in the Judge's Auditorium here in Pittsburgh. So if you're interested, hit at Decay and WTB on Instagram up with a direct message, and we'll pick a couple of you to come watch it with us.
Yeah. Free beer, free food.
Free beer, free food, rumble. Free rumble.
Yeah.
Just come hang out.
Come on through. Be fun.
If you want to bring some beer, you can. You don't have to.
It's up to you. We love you.
And you don't have to drink my beer either. I'll have some
You do.
I'll have some commercial biggies.
You gotta drink it.
I'll have some Miller Lite.
You gotta drink Merry Crisis.
I'll have some Iron City.
So, Adam, can MJF be an anti-hero, single-man army to keep the momentum of the Devil storyline pushing once he comes back from his little break?
I don't know. The problem is I don't know how long that break's going to be. Yeah. I think it's jobbing. I think you're going to have more than just him. It's going to have to be an opposing faction or a group of people.
The Pinnacle.
I do like it. It seems like a complete reset on storylines after Dynamite this week. Kind of excited. I know the ratings were down for it, but it seems like a good reset. You're getting some more in-ring people. Yeah. A bunch of injured people are returning, a couple new signings.
Private Party came back and didn't call the tag champs, even though they put the whole tag team title.
They put everybody on notice. They put everybody on notice.
Holders.
I think they forgot who the tag champs were.
Like, oh, they came out and they're like, Mark Quinn, you really got to remember to say Big Bill and Ricky Starks. And he's like, ugh.
Hardy Boys.
Even the Hardy Boys are going to get this smoke. So, Adam.
But yeah, that's jobbing. It's not going to be a one-man war where he's like picking people off. No chance.
I think it's going to be a one-man war. I think you're going to see.
I don't think you're going to see him for a while.
I think you're going to.
I don't think we're going to see him for at least 6 months.
I think he's going to do is start slowly picking people off. I think he's going to start doing it.
I think he's going to have a stable.
The Pinnacle, bring it back.
Pinnacle comes back without Wardlow
and without everybody else. Everyone left. Except for FTR.
I will make a call. You want a hot call right now?
Hot takes.
Wardlow may or may not win that championship off of Samoa, but whether he does or not, to kick him out of the group for Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly comes. Oh, 100%, dude. Kyle O'Reilly comes back and says,
the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, that neck is fixed, bro. Yeah. He's coming back.
Neck strong, Kyle O'Reilly.
So, Adam, last but not least here, Ben Askren will come out of retirement to fight a returning Jorge Masvidal.
Jobbing as fuck. To do what? Losing 5 seconds this time? Get the fuck out of here, Ben Askren.
He's waiting for the knee this time. He's waiting for the knee.
Isn't he coaching like high school wrestling? You're probably doing a great job at that. You're a great wrestler.
Yeah.
Teach the future generation.
All the dad bods in the world rejoice for Ben Askren.
I do not fault him if he's coming back for a payday.
Oh, for sure.
Fine, but you ain't fucking winning.
Did you run through all that Jake Paul money?
Dude. You look worse than me covered in flubber. It happened. That's jobbing as hell.
I would love to know. Let me say this. It's jobbing, but I
you want to see Ben Askren in flubber?
I do so bad. Ben Askren in flubber is going to be hot as fuck.
His hair would look awesome.
So, like, it's bouncing too. Like, let me say it's jobbing. However, I would like to see them run it back if they could.
I don't think it's UFC worthy, though. It's like clown shoes worthy. Like, that's a
Triller.
That's a Saudi card or a Triller card. Yeah. Which I don't know. Masvidal still in UFC?
No,
he's out on his own promotion.
He has his own promotion.
All right, I can see it happening then. You know what? Maybe going over.
TBD.
Maybe they do run it back.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot. I forgot he wasn't in UFC anymore. Yeah.
He came back after 6 months of saying he hung him up. So, Adam, we are going into a break from the show.
That's good. I want to hear from our sponsors
friends. Oh, there, Kev. Okay. Thank you. After how many episodes you're finally going to say
Talking Smack?
Who else?
The Call Worthy Podcast?
I like that one, too. Who else?
From the Balcony?
I like that.
I don't want to give away anything for round two, so I won't say anybody else.
Sugarcoated Murder. I love you.
I do like Sugarcoated Murder.
And Fuck My Work Life Podcast. There's a lot. We have a lot of good friends.
Well, there's one very special one.
Yeah.
That I'm saving for round two.
Ooh. It's the one we didn't say. So we're going to see you on the other side.
I'm going to butter his crumpet.
Face it, dating sucked in your 20s, gets worse in your 30s, and your 40s, forget it.
It's a cesspool out there, and we're your flotation device.
Join us weekly for saucy chat, ridiculous love gurus,
and MILF-worthy fun to spice up your life.
The MILF and Me podcast. Every Wednesday on your favorite pod platform.
And the MILFandMePod.com.
The MILF and Me podcast.
Welcome back. Hopefully you heard something that you like, because when you support our friends, you support us. And when you support us, we get to do really cool stuff. Again, you guys are supporting the crap out of us, and we really appreciate it. Happy New Year to you guys. And we are now in round two, and it is barrel age day here in the Jojatorium. Adam brought something else delicious for us to drink. Put it all together. What do we call it? Round two beers. What are we drinking?
Hell yeah. Thanks for giving me credit. But I got to pass the credit on to former and future guest Bigfoot Benjamin for getting us this, all I can say is rare find, from Cinderlands Brewing here in Pittsburgh. It is the Deuce Rye.
Oh, shit.
And it is an imperial stout that was aged not only in Willett Rye casks for 26 months, and not only Sazerac Rye casks for 20 months, but then Templeton Rye casks for 20 more months. So that's a bunch of months. And that gets you to a 13% Imperial Stout.
It's your fucking
barrel-aged in three different rye barrels. And let's crack it open.
So while Adam is just going to town on this bad boy, sound effects. If you want to go on with Cinderlands, they are one of the premier breweries here in Pittsburgh. They have a great spot down there in Lawrenceville.
Just motor oil.
Oh my God. Look at that thing. That's midnight black. They are Cinderlands Brewing on all social media. They have it all. And they have a great kitchen, great on location. They're right in the heart of the cultural hub down there right now.
Right in the Strip District at the old Spaghetti Warehouse building. They also have a small spot in the in Lawrenceville, so check them out.
Yeah, they were...
We ain't wasting none of this. We're pouring it all out, splitting it even.
They were so integral, too, during the Barrel and Flow festival. So take a sip while I talk a little more.
Dude, the smell. I would just like to say, from the crack of the can,
it came up.
And it smells like barrels and stout in here.
I had a pause for a second when it came through. But Cinderlands did a great job during Barrel and Flow, too. They had an after party that was incredible, which is where I think, if I may pinpoint, that might be where Mr. Bigfoot Benjamin secured this can. Because
I think he got it more recently than that.
Oh, yeah.
I think he got it very recently. I just got it off of him a few weeks ago when I was guest bartending at Mondays with Lori.
Yeah.
He dropped it off, and I was like, dude, thank you. Yeah. I just read the description on the can, and I was like, holy shit.
So you took your first sip.
Dude, this is a barrel-aged stout through and through. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't get a ton of the rye spiciness, but I do get a lot of the barrel. This is the body I was looking for out of round one. This is the chocolatey. This is the coffee. Like, this is hitting.
Dude,
this is hitting on every level. We are in trouble.
It's sticking to my lips right now.
I'm in trouble. It is syrup thick. It is motor oil thick.
Dude.
Black. Just beautiful.
There is a
taste.
Delay on your glass as you like roll it around. There's a delay.
Yeah, this thing got legs, dude.
Oh my God, my insides look like that right now.
I mean, there's definitely barrel character without it being fusel. Without it being with no alcohol burn at all.
Yeah, none.
Very smooth, very aged. Well done, especially transferring it between
three
barrels and then into whatever you use to can it. Like,
dude.
No errors in execution on this
one. Can I ask you a question, though, too? And this is just an observation I have here. I see that the carbonation isn't as high in this can. Is that something that people do kind of on purpose with a beer like this, because you don't really need to have it carried?
Yeah, well, and I actually think I just had to take a sip to verify that, but like I think it's also higher than usual for this type of beer. For that thick of a stout and for that many barrels, it still has a pretty high carb on it. It is lower than your Miller like your typical beer. For sure, you're right. But yeah, that is common just with a thicker bodied beer. Lower carb lets that mouthfeel linger. Like that's strategic. It's also harder to carb a thicker, heavier beer.
For sure.
But yeah, it's definitely got enough carb on it, though. Like, this is...
I feel like the fucking Joker right now.
This is picture perfect for me.
Dude.
Is this beer just cutting up into your...
I can just feel it. I feel like I'm going to...
It's giving you that Chelsea grin?
Dude, I can feel it, dude. It's good. God damn.
The old Glasgow smile's coming through.
Really good. So, yeah, Cinderlands, what a knockout.
Yeah, this one killed.
Crushed it.
I don't know if it's still available. Thank you, Ben, for getting it for us. But if it's still available, go get it. If it's not, go get anything else from Cinderlands.
Absolutely, yeah.
I have nothing bad to say about their beers. Their beers are awesome.
Also, too.
All the time, and they got great food.
One big thing about Cinderlands that I really like is that more common than not, when someone's coming into the craft beer scene, they're like, I don't know if I like craft beer. I like Miller Lite. I like this. I like that. I like fruity stuff. Their sour game is top notch.
I think all of their game. Actually, the style, I wasn't sure that they did well or not. I've had a couple. Was their dark beer, and boom, there we go.
Dude, it's amazing.
So there you go. They got great lagers. They got great IPAs. They do have great sours. Mm-hmm. Like, go check them out. And they have a really cool, especially if you go to that Strip District location.
Yeah.
Their facility there is
it's beautiful.
Really cool to look at.
Yeah. It's cool as shit, man. It kind of reminds me of like semi-industrial, almost like like everything feels like burnt wood-ish on the outside when you go in. It's beautiful.
But then you go in there and they have like the stacked fermenters and stuff.
It's like, really nice, yeah.
It's just a dream come true.
Come to Pittsburgh. Check out Cinderlands. Come hang out with us. But while we are sipping on this incredible beer from Cinderlands, and I wish we had more of it.
I sipped a lot of it right away, though. I'm floating.
Adam, it is 2024.
It is.
And 2023 has died a very long, lingering death.
True.
2023 felt like 3 years wrapped up into one. Rest in peace, Betty White. I love you. I still miss you every day. But we have to move into the ground and pound. Because when we were doing this before we took our little break, our nine-month break, we did do this once before back in like episode like 60-something. Where we had like a little breakdown of our year and what we thought were the best and worst.
Yeah, 2021 going into 2022.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, Adam, I went back there and I found the 10 or 11 things that are what would be of essence our 2023. So, we got our Wrapped from Spotify. We got our Wrapped from Spotify for podcasters. Thank you for that, too. And, you know, we know what we did for 2023, our successes, our failures. But what I want to know from you, Adam, on this Ground and Pound, is our top 11, based off the topics I have here, and we'll see who has the better, best, or worst list. We'll kind of have a little bit of combat back here.
I got a couple alterations, so we might have more than 11. We might have 13 now.
That's okay.
But I'll hit you with them when we get there.
I like mystery questions. So, Adam, off the rip, because I know it makes you very nervous, I have to ask you, what is your best brewery and worst brewery of 2023?
So, as uncomfortable as worst makes me, best makes me also uncomfortable because you're making me, like, pick between my kids. So, I will preface this with saying I love all local beer. I love all of Pittsburgh breweries, except maybe what I consider the worst in this category. So, do you want best and worst right now?
Yeah.
So, my best, and I will rationalize it, this year is Necromancer.
Oh, yeah.
And that is because they brew really good beer and really eclectic styles. But on top of all that, they're also dog friendly inside and outside. Yeah. So even in the wintertime, and they're not the only ones, Leaning Cask as well, also very close runner for best, because we don't feel like we're ditching our dog all day if we're going there for a beer.
That is nice.
We can go inside. We're all warm.
Yeah.
It's a fun time. But again, not bashing anybody.
Hey, man.
In Pittsburgh beer.
It's okay.
I love them all. We feature you all on the podcast.
Also,
I hate that Matt's asked this question.
Two times running, by the way. We both picked Necromancer last time.
Oh, did we?
We did. Wow. Yeah.
There we go.
So who's your worst brewery?
Dented Keg from round one. So I mean all my love to anybody except them. They don't even really brew their beer. It's true. You want a further insight, I'm not going to sit on my soapbox here, but if you need a further explanation, hit me up at bash_brew.
Yeah.
They don't brew the beer.
You get a full expose.
Their beer's okay. The one we actually had in round one was probably probably the best thing I had from them.
Yeah, not
it
bad.
It was okay.
Yeah. But it took a lot. Love.
I also had to pick a worst.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think I hit on Anheuser-Busch last year. So.
You did, yes.
Or 2 years ago at this point. But,
so I would say for best brewery for me, and it's no secret, Daddy moved into a new area, and one of the breweries that really took care of me was Cellar Works.
Oh, yeah.
I do love Absolutely. Cellar Works for a couple reasons. One, they throw great parties. They're very seasonal, and they do a great job. Their Oktoberfest was killer. Did a great job. But the consistency of their beer is on point. They have some staples like 50-Foot Robot that's incredible. And they've kind of dabbled more, too, into some experimental stuff, which we'll get into a little bit later here. But I love Cellar Works, and they're very welcoming.
Absolutely. And we as Bash Brewers, home brewers, got to serve next to them on multiple occasions now, or see them. We served right next to them at one occasion.
Yeah.
And have seen them at multiple places, and they are the nicest people, too.
Absolutely.
Just as owners and their staff, just really nice, welcoming people. Mm-hmm. And they let little guys in and brew with them like
Mondays. Which is nice, yeah, which is really nice.
They're really helping Sam out.
They are. My worst brewery is going to be Fermentation in Freeport, PA. I think that...
Ooh, I haven't been there yet.
You don't need to go.
Okay.
Their food is fantastic, but they don't receive criticism very well for their beers, so most of their beers leave some lacking in most areas. It's serviceable beer, but if you're looking for that punch, go down the road. There's Connie Creek, literally 15 minutes away from them. There's Cellar Works, 7 minutes away from them. You can go down the street and go to Allegheny Beverage, which is my favorite beer distributor, and that you can get anything you want there.
Matt throwing alternatives out. Yeah. I will do that also for Dented Keg and Mars, PA. Go to Stick City.
Stick City, all fucking
they
day.
Fucking crush it.
They're so good.
Also, look it up. I think they're also dog friendly outside. So,
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're top of the list. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of Pittsburgh breweries that are dog friendly outside, which I do appreciate. But in a pinch, in the winter months, love Necromancer.
So, Adam, moving on from breweries into very like a microcosm of that, what is your favorite beer of 2023?
Yeah, so I couldn't pick a single beer. I went with beer styles. Okay. Is that okay?
That's fine. Yeah.
So my favorite beer for 2023, and I ventured out into it because we brewed it for the first time this year, and I really got into it deep a few months ago, was Mexican lagers.
Oh, yeah.
From a research perspective, how do we make our best Mexican lager? Well, I'm going to have to drink a bunch of them.
Yeah. And not a bad research project to have.
So much fun. and that leads right into my worst, which is probably for years running now, is anything that's lactose sour.
Oh, God. Why? That's the worst.
Which I will also say, even though they're my worst style, there are some out there that I can't deny trying and liking still.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also the gloopiest, gluppiest of the worst.
Yeah.
In some cases. Mm-hmm. So there is a good and bad with that. I even though they're my worst style.
Yeah.
I can't deny that every time abjuration throws ones out that
they're but that's done. That's done with care, love, attention. That's different.
I will say if you're looking for a sour, a dessert sour,
abjuration.
And I'm going right to lactose sour because I do love wild sours.
Yeah.
Out the box, for sure.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to drink a lactose sour from anybody, it's abjuration.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that cheesecake sour is...
I don't trust nobody else.
I don't trust them.
Oh, yeah, you just go there for dessert.
Dude, it's so fucking good.
Plus, they got some sick hazies on it. You know.
So I would say for beer this year, I really solidified my love. And I'm glad you went style because I wanted to go style, too.
Oh, good.
I'm glad.
I wasn't sure. I just saw the prompt, and I was like, I'm going to go broad.
And I love that, too, because it really took me back to my roots. I'm Czechoslovakian through and through.
Oh, here we go. So, this is why I didn't pick this one. This is my number two.
So Daddy loves a good Czech lager, a good Czech dark lager, and this year was the year of Czech dark lagers. Every brewery came out. You had Mondays.
I came out with a Czech Pilsner.
Which amazing.
Czech dark, we're doing a Czech dark this year.
You had the collab on Monday, Cellar Works. Illusion had one, which was fantastic.
Illusions was very good.
So delicious. And all over, everyone was trying their hand at it, and it was a fun time trying to try all the different ones. And it was hard for me to find one I didn't really like that much. However, that Monday Cellar Works Pivo
The Pondy Pivo.
Dude, delicious.
Was really good.
I would say, though, for my worst beer, the worst beer style is tea beers. What the fuck?
Dude, I like tea beers.
I hate tea beers.
Every time I chai.
That's different. Because you actually made a beer. The tea beers I'm talking about are the ones that are like the flat, almost like Mike's Hard ones that are coming. Okay. They're terrible. And people try to bring those back out because the seltzers had a big game. So they're like, oh, tea beers are like seltzers. No, they're not.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying like commercial tea beers.
Yeah, not
a craft beer brewed with tea.
No.
Okay.
Craft beer brewed with tea is amazing. I love every time I try.
So you're like against the hard iced teas.
Yeah, fuck those things, man.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I like that.
So, Adam, we're moving into the best podcast of 2023. Who are you taking in the best podcast of 2023?
So, I have two because I think my first one's a little biased, which is Casting Views.
Of course.
I love Dan.
I love Dan, too.
Yeah. That's why I didn't mention him before the break because he was already my favorite podcast. But if I have to pick somebody as a runner-up to Casting Views,
yeah,
I'd pick Last Podcast on the Left.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Our buddies over there, they had their most tumultuous year this year. Had to replace a cast member for right or wrong, whatever. But did it well. And
Ed Larson's landed fantastic. On their feet. Yeah.
He's doing a great job. I'm having a great time listening still. So
yeah.
Cheers to them.
Yeah, I absolutely
my favorite
love it,
podcast.
Man. I would say my favorite podcast of 2023 would be the Cult Worthy podcast. I'm in love with Antonio Palacios's his idea of bringing
he is one of my favorite
it's incredible
film podcasts.
Yeah,
sure.
He just brings things to you that you may have never checked out or things that you may have never just even heard of.
He's made me watch films
yeah.
that I've never heard of, which I think is the point.
Incredible, yeah. And he's the hardest working man in indie podcasting right now. He has like four podcasts. So it's cool to see that he still puts the love and attention into the Cult Worthy.
We can do
podcast.
That too. I don't have any kids.
We have one podcast. but my worst podcast.
I ain't doing a podcast without you, sir.
Yeah, no.
Unless Dan wants a co-host.
No. Woo. Oh, we're not doing a worst podcast. I would say my.
I got a worst.
No. Well, I would say my commercial
it's
podcast.
Easy. If you go commercial, yeah.
Bad Friends is easily my favorite.
Your worst?
No.
Oh, favorite.
Favorite, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My favorite was Last Podcast.
Yeah.
As commercial.
Yeah.
Do you have worst?
No.
Commercial?
It's hard.
It's not hard for me. Fighter and the Kid, you suck.
Fuck off, Brandon. So, Adam, we're moving in number four here. Best and worst male wrestler of 2023.
So, I would like to propose this to you.
Okay.
Let's do a best and worst male, and we... shot into the future, we have best and worst female wrestler.
Yeah.
Can we do one each from WWE and AEW, the two biggest?
Sure.
Arguably the two biggest promotions.
But we can't do a lot of back and forth, though. Because
no, there's no back and forth. I'm just going to throw them to you.
Yeah.
So my best male wrestler WWE is Gunther.
Okay.
And my worst is Austin Theory.
Okay.
And then do you want my AEWs?
Yeah, sure, here? Of course.
So I
Kenny
will
Omega.
Say, no. Absolutely not. Not in either category, though.
Yeah.
My best for 2023, mm-hmm. probably won't repeat in 2024, sadly. MJF. Mm-hmm. Swerve, I'm looking at you for 2024. Mm-hmm. You're going to do it. And my worst, 100%, double, triple down, Jon Moxley.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Only because we shit on Chris Jericho enough
so
already today.
I know.
Because he was almost tied.
Low hanging
But Moxley
fruit.
Fucking sucks.
So for WWE, best male wrestler for WWE, I would say I am in love with him and I can't help it. I love Chad Gable. I love
Dude,
his character.
He was towards the top of my list.
He's fun. He has a great comedy character, but he's a great wrestler. Super strong.
I wish they used him better.
They will. It's coming. It's coming.
But I do like him and Gunther. Yeah. Our boys fight each other. Gunther and him, man. Like,
phew. I'm going to say this right now, and this might be controversial. Worst wrestler in WWE right now for 2023. Hear me out. Damian Priest.
No, I do not agree.
Damian Priest. You've had the suitcase. You have three botched buy-ins. Like, it's just not good. Like, you're ruining the case.
You're booking him bad. He's not bad.
He doesn't even sell the bad sales on the suitcase either. Like it's bad in general. It's He's like, ooh, it's right now. No one. And then all of a sudden, Brock Lesnar's going to come
picking
out
him,
next time.
You're picking him as worst ever, Dominic Mysterio?
Yeah, because Dominic Mysterio gets good heat. Yeah. For AEW, the best wrestler, I'm going to go with my man, the hardcore blue collar guy, Eddie Kingston.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love Eddie Kingston.
He had a great fucking year this year.
What a great year, Eddie Kingston. And then for my.
And then finished this year because that was
Triple
before
Crown.
New Year's.
Yeah.
Triple Crown champion,
baby.
Man. Yeah.
The worst wrestler of 2023 when it comes to AEW is Hook. I think Hook is.
God damn you. Fuck off.
He's
wrong.
Overrated FUW championship.
Wrong.
Doesn't matter. He's not defending it the right way. Now he's becoming a comedy character. I don't care. Fuck him.
What about everybody you beat? Jungle Boy's worse.
He's not even on the fucking roster right now.
Garcia's worse.
Garcia's way better.
He just botched a sharpshooter.
Garcia's way better. Yeah.
You're dumb. Oh, man, we're going to fight over that later.
Best and worst female wrestler.
Oh, we're going to fight over that later.
Best and first.
You're so wrong with Hook.
Best and worst female
wrestler.
You're
trying to heat me up.
It's working. Best and worst female wrestler.
It is working. Again, we're going to go WWE and AEW. So my favorite. Actually, can you go first? Because I have a backup.
Sure. For WWE, I'm going to say the best one right now is going to be Bayley because she has one of the better storylines and she's working through damage control. The worst right now is going to be her name escaped me there for a second.
Oh, I can fill it in for you. You won't mind?
Go for it.
Nia Jax.
Yeah, thank you.
She came back. She still
Who
ain't good.
Who cares?
She still ain't good.
And then for AEW, I think the best right now, Sky Blue, great push.
Good.
Really good,
good point.
Upswing here. And worst, Thunder Rosa, because she came back for one match, did not do very well in it, showed a lot of ring rust, and she has no promo sense. So my worst is going to be Thunder Rosa for that one. I want to see her do better.
I do like her, and I hate that I can't really defend her with your point, in at least in her 2023 run. Yeah,
2024 is going to be her year. I feel that, but like 2023, she really hit the bed.
So I'll give both mine for WWE then. Rhea Ripley, which is super obvious.
Oh, it's a given.
Which is why I had to pick a second, which I think is she's going to pop huge in the next year, which is
Jade Cargill.
Ivy Nile.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Dude, her look is sick. She looks like a badass.
She's strong.
She looks like
so
a female
strong.
Ken Shamrock. She's
yeah.
Fucking dominate.
Like fucking strong.
Oh,
yeah.
We both went over our worst, Nia Jax, for WWE. My best for AEW, pretty close to yours. I went with Julia Hart.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So they're buddies.
Great job.
So boom. And then the female worst for AEW is easy for me, Marina Shafir.
Oh, yeah. Just
which I just read today is rumored to join the Blackpool Combat Club, which I hope doesn't happen.
Who cares about that fucking thing anyway?
She is the worst in the ring and on the mic.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey, good.
That's a stretch.
It didn't rub off on Marina Shafir.
Absolutely not. So, Adam, we're moving to number six here. YouTube channel and content creator. Who do you have for 2023?
Yeah, my favorite by far still going strong is Red Letter Media. They just fucking push the shit in on the film industry, and I love it. It's very comedic, but very real, very researched. They drink beer on their YouTube videos / podcasts, so do we. They review bad movies, but they also tear apart big Hollywood blockbusters that don't deserve the budget. So, Red Letter Media, they are pretty popular, but if you don't know them, check them out. It's a good time.
That's a good one. I've really enjoyed myself. It's the Abandoned America channel, where the guy who goes into all the
abandoned buildings.
Dude, it's been so cool. Cause it's frightening as shit.
Is he the one that did the Century 3?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so he came here to Pittsburgh and he gave us a little shout out. Dude, talk about eerie as fuck. He's done like abandoned water parks. He's done Century 3 Mall.
So I've seen the water parks, a couple of the water parks and Century 3 Mall from him.
It's eerie as shit. And I'll tell you what, man, the one that really, really got me, he went into an abandoned house like down in Alabama. He was like just driving down the road and he goes, house looks abandoned. I'm going to go check it out. And there was somebody in there, and he had to vacate the house real quick. It was really, really tension.
He walked into the auditorium.
We're here right now. So, Adam, moving to number seven here. It's your favorite song / artist of 2023.
So
Taylor Swift.
I couldn't pick. both of these artists put out albums.
Okay.
So I don't have a favorite song.
Okay.
But both of these artists put out albums in 2023. And it's Signs of the Swarm, local here to Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Got to give them a shout out. They're killing it. Going on national tours now. I'm very proud of them. And then my other one is Johnny Booth, which I think I discovered in with help of friends in 2022, but they also had a big album released in 2023. Yeah. So
good.
Hit it up. Yeah. Didn't even know about them until 2021, 2022, but like they just sound like a little bit edgier Every Time I Die.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gimmick. So like, love it.
Yeah. 100%, man. I would say my favorite song right now is Revelation from Many Eyes. I think that's one of my favorite songs because I'm going to tell you right now.
I do have a song, too.
Yeah.
What's that? Putting it good with yours.
So my favorite song is Revelation by Many Eyes because Keith Buckley went fucking in. Along for the artist, they released a new album in 2023. It's Spanish Love Songs. I love that band a ton because I'm an elder emo.
You're pulling me towards them. I like your.
I dig them, man.
Sales pitch.
It's fun. Like they have their new album called Marvel when it came out. It has some real big bangers on it, like Clean Up Crew and Haunted and Phantom Limb. It's a really good album. I really enjoy it, and it's on my Spotify. Is like, would you please fucking stop listening? But yeah, what's your favorite song?
So favorite song for me, they didn't release an album this year, so I got to go with their single.
Yeah.
Was Brand of Sacrifice, Dynasty.
Oh, it was really good.
Unbelievably sick. And then I also have a worst artist, just an artist.
Yeah, okay.
Not a song because all of his shit sucks. And I do have to preface this with, do you want to edit or not in my explanation? Just a bleep. It'll be a bleep.
I'll go ahead.
It'll be a real hard bleep. So my my least favorite artist is everything that Morgan Wallen's ever done. I would like to tell him to die, .. slowly, .. That's where the beep goes.
That's where the beep goes. Yeah, no, I don't like Morgan Wallen at all.
My edited version was going to say gain talent or go away.
Yeah, well,
but I would like to be more direct with my bleep of the bleep word.
But I want to throw this out there, too. An artist that I fell in love with in 2023 was Prof. We were talking about it off
camera.
Yeah,
we were. Yeah, yeah. Bro, and I agree with you on that.
When he was just like, oh, she said she never heard of me. Like, oh, I'm ugly as fuck. You think I'm stupid, too? Ooh, swaggy. He's a Tifa in a bag. Like, he's just, yeah, I love
what
it,
is
dude.
That? What is that? Another favorite song that I got introduced to this. I think it was new this year. What's that song you introduced me to that's just depressing as shit that I listen to every week now?
Oh, shit. I love a lot of depressing music.
It's the one about the guy talking about like what goes on
Jack Kays.
Inside his
Jack
head.
Jack Kays. Like the voice inside my head. Yeah, dude.
Was that this year?
Yep.
There's another favorite song to check out.
What is your favorite horror movie
of 2023? Do not listen to it if you're down.
If you're having self-doubt, don't fucking listen.
If you think you're doing good, listen to it. It'll bring you back to the level. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, favorite horror movie of 2023.
I would also like for you to go first because I think we're going to repeat on the favorite, and I have multiple. Yeah.
Obviously, my favorite of 2023 is going to be When Evil Lurks.
Boom. Yeah. That was one of my – I had three on list just in case we had the same one.
The worst one was Skinamarink and Fuck Off. So.
Well, that was in the running for my worst too. So for my best, I also had When Evil Lurks in there. Talk to Me in second,
really
but my number one was Evil Dead Rise.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Just
great gore. I'm a fucking gore whore.
You're a gore hound, baby.
I'm a big gore hound. And there was a ton of blood.
Tons.
The elevator blood, the Necronomicon got updated for the hipsters to go vinyl. It was great. And my worst, like there's a lot of bad horror and Skinamarink was one of them.
Yep.
But there's a lot of just cheesy, shitty horror.
Yeah.
But there was one I saw on top list that I totally disagree with, and that's Megan. That movie sucked.
I wasn't a fan.
I thought it was a great premise, but the writing, I don't know if it was the writing or how the lines were delivered, seemed like it was AI, computer generated. Like, people don't talk like that.
Yeah. No.
And it sucked.
Yeah. I agree.
I would like to see it redone, even with the same creepy doll, in a rated R.
2033.
A hard R, hard rated R horror movie with violence.
I would like that, too.
It
would
be pretty cool. I thought the Megan character was interesting, but I thought the writing on it was lazy.
The ear pull was cool, but like there
and that was it.
Go beyond that,
and that was
there it. Isn't really nothing. Yeah. So, Adam, what is your hottest take in 2023?
So there's only one hot take. You can't have a best and a worst.
Yeah.
My hottest take is avocados ain't that great, and turning it into guacamole only slightly makes it better.
You motherfucker.
And you,
Greg's
fucking
coming for
know
us.
It. You fucking know. Avocado and guacamole also. You know you'd rather have salsa.
That's true.
You'd rather have salsa. So boom. Hot take. All you avocado toast fucks. I know that's going back like the last 3 years, but I still see posts about avocados. Yeah. They ain't that good. They're just mushy, green, flavorless shit.
I like avocados.
They're okay. Everybody's like making them. They ain't good without a little hot sauce on
That's
there.
True. They need some elevation.
They need a partner.
They do.
Avocados suck.
Much like I need a partner, and he's right
and
fucking here.
And guacamole's only that much better. Because you're throwing a little jalapeno, not enough, and a little bit of garlic, and a little bit of lime juice. It ain't that great. You can make it pretty extreme. Yeah. That might work. I don't know.
My hot take for 2023 is they're making weed too strong.
I agree with that too.
Every time there's a new strain of marijuana, and it's always super strong, and everyone's getting too baked, and everyone can't function. And they're like, I have a medical marijuana card. It's like, okay, but what are you? And they're like, I'm smoking this XYZ stuff, and they're like, fucking passing out.
Yeah, and people were acting like being on weed's not, and it's not as extreme as being drunk,
right?
As we talk to you being drunk. But it's still something. Like, you can't just live that way 24/7.
Dude,
we don't live this way 24/7. We get this way for you guys once a week on camera and like three times a week in our personal lives.
Yeah.
But like, that's it. Like, we do it responsibly.
Dude, it's getting so ridiculous. Yeah. Like, before it was like you smoke a spliff for a little bit and you get a little mellowed out and then you like, you write something or whatever.
But now you see people like, I get a lot of open mic nights and open mic comedy nights, and like, you just see people that are fucked up,
blown out
trying to do that shit. I'm like, if this is your career,
too hard,
don't do it blown out.
Yeah.
So, it's a shame.
Adam, what is your favorite podcast moment for us of 2023?
Crack a mango before this. Easily, besides just coming back in 2023, is our Butt Rock Around and Pound.
Yeah.
My favorite segment of 2023 by far. It was the most laughs, the most fun, the most off the cuff we got all year, except for maybe this podcast.
Barrel Age, it's different.
Had a blast doing the Butt Rock.
Yeah. I would say for me, it was our finally getting to 100 episodes. Our 100th episode
was delayed.
So much fun. And we still got there. And it was just like, I don't know, man. I had some, like, and I was working all day. And the whole time I'm like, dude, I can't believe that something that we decided to do and we've got.
I feel like I ruined that episode.
But like, we did 100 of them. You know what I mean?
I tried to do a surprise and it
fucking backfired. But that's okay because I got to be here with you, and
it was a nice milestone.
Yeah, our 100th episode, and I can't wait.
200 will be better.
200 way better.
I promise.
Way better. But yeah, that's my favorite one. So, Adam, what is the best moment of 2023 in general? Like, what's something you saw or experienced in 2023 that's your favorite thing?
So I tried to go in general with it.
Yeah.
And like, I looked up news stories from 2023, and they were all really depressing.
2023 was terrible.
So I went very personal with it and very selfish with
it.
Okay. We adopted Bandit this year.
Yeah.
Which is my number one. Don't know where I'd be today without him. It's weird to say that about your pet, but dude, he brought a lot of light into my life and a lot of happiness. And number two, a very close number two, is starting this podcast back up in 2023. So, dude, easy enough answer if I can make it personal. I searched news stories all fucking for like the last two nights.
Yeah.
I could not find anything.
Because the news was miserable.
Yeah, it was miserable this year. It was a really bad 2023. And in all fairness, the beginning of 2023, the end of 2022, beginning of 2023 for me and my family was really rough.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how the second half of the year turned around. And a big part of that was adopting the dog. And even more of a big part in the second half was us starting this up again.
Absolutely, yeah.
It just gives me something to look forward to and something to vent on every week. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being available and open to doing it again.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
To feed off of that, my favorite moment to lead into my – the thing to lead into my favorite moment is us coming back. But my favorite moment of 2023 is there is a moment, and it'll come out here on January 22nd. We got interviewed by Slade from the Game Club Pod, and you made me laugh so hard that we broke the host.
Yeah.
That was... And you don't know this, but before that, I was having a really rough day. And when I came in here, you didn't make it your mission. You were who you were.
But in full disclosure and full transparency, we recorded an episode before that.
Yeah.
And I knew you weren't, it's not like you were down and didn't want to do anything that day, but you weren't having your best day.
No.
So I was like,
yeah.
I tuned it up a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to kill you like I did. But.
Yeah, but I can't. I'm not going to spoil what it is.
I can't wait.
It's yeah.
I didn't really. Yeah, we're right there. Because we recorded that
on the horizon.
Ago,
yeah. But when it comes out, you'll know exactly what it is because I almost hyperventilate when I laugh, and I needed it, and it reminded me so much of why we do this. So that's my favorite moment of 2023. So thank you, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate that. So
glad I could help.
Adam, that is it for the ground and pound there. For
thanks 2023. I'm glad you're gone, but we have some good memories at least.
So
that was very nice to think of because I could think of was bad shit that happened and I tried to put together a little montage of 2023 good moments and everything we did good was our dog or a beer festival. And I'm okay, everything else kind of fucking sucked.
We were having a good time in the middle of all the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a good year in spite of everything that was happening.
Yeah. So, Adam, we're moving into your favorite segment, the second half here. It's questions from the internet.
Hell yeah.
So, what are
we got
some
good ones this week, too.
What are some of your goals of 2024?
Yeah, so again, going a little selfish. I mean, it is my goals.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to try to fucking lose a weight or anything.
Fuck that. Eat cheese sticks.
I want to brew some new beer styles.
Okay.
And I did grow on that. I know exactly what I want to brew this year. I want to either brew an old ale style.
Okay.
Which isn't also far from my and or barley wine. I'm doing one of the two this year, if not both. Both are heavy aged. High ABV ales, so it'll be fun. Look for it in the autumn time frame, I would guess.
Oh, that fits.
Yeah.
Yeah. For 2024.
Let's do something over 12%, eh?
Oh, Jesus Christ. trying to kill a dude over here. So a goal of mine for 2024, I don't think I've said this to you, buddy, but much akin to Sugar-Coated Murder, Daddy wants to write a book.
All right.
And I've taken some classes.
I'm going to do the prologue. Even if you don't want me to.
I'm going
to
write a horror novel.
Oh, nice.
In 2024. And I've taken some classes, and I've gotten myself up to date. I've talked to a publisher, and I've gotten some great feedback on some of my original, one-sheeters that I sent to some people. And
nice.
I'm pretty excited, man. I want to write a book. So maybe in 2024 is the goal. Probably 2025.
Yeah.
I want to write
But I mean, work towards it. Work fucking towards it.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Cool, dude. I support you. And I'll try to learn how to read this year so I can read it when it comes out.
That's good. Yeah. Fantastic. We'll get two goals finished this for 2024. So, Adam, if there was a TV show or movie about your life, who would you choose to play you?
I couldn't pick one.
Why is it Rainn Wilson?
Dude, That's better than anybody I have, you motherfucker.
Who are you picking?
My very first one was Adam Devine.
That fits.
Because, like,
that tracks.
We're in the same age range. Yeah. We're kind of goofy. He's a little bit better looking than me. Then, like, for a hard shot up, I got so many for you. I got different situations. Yeah. Hard shot up, if I had, like, a really, like, me at my best and then better. Channing Tatum.
Okay. Yeah.
If you look at me from that angle, maybe.
I see it.
And then me at my realist, Haley Joel Osment. Now.
Right now. Yeah.
Because we're, I mean, in all honesty, he's younger than me.
Yeah.
Adam Devine and Channing Tatum are both older than me. It's true. And then if it's a whole biopic, me in my older age,
yeah,
Jason Statham, hands down, because I'm going to have a glow up. It's coming.
Yeah.
Jason Statham's happening.
I see the beekeeper in you right now.
Yeah, right? Going to be a real apiary guy here.
I like that. I like that.
Beekeeper right here. How about you?
If I could pick somebody, it's probably going to be Tom Holland because, you know, I'm skinny and British, so that would be really good. Hello, Governor. Right. I'm Spider-Man.
I mean, I'll give it to you if you give me Channing Tatum.
No, but I think if I really had to pick somebody to play me, I mean, to reach out into a world that I'm more familiar with, I'd probably have to go with, like, I don't know, Tim Dillon. I think Tim Dillon would.
He is our age, by the way.
As I'm saying.
I, like, just found that out. I was like, well, that makes me feel better.
Tim Dillon,
thought he was definitely in his 40s.
Yeah. I mean, he's a bit bigger than I am, but I feel like he and I have the sensibilities that are quite similar.
You have similar comic attributes.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I'll have Tim Dillon play me.
And he was good in Thanksgiving.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
Second shout out for that movie today.
So, Adam, what tag team would you like to be the manager of?
So I'm picking a tag team I think not only can I manage, but I'm going to help out.
Yeah.
I want to go through their whole story arc with them.
Okay.
So I'm not picking a top tag team. I'm just picking my favorite tag team.
Yeah.
Butcher and the Blade and AEW. Okay.
I like that.
We listen to a little fucking, you know, I feel like we have the same music styles.
Yep.
I think they have a great look. They just need a little work. I can help them out with their in-ring move set a little bit. Hang out with the bunny a little bit. Good times.
If she came back.
I mean, she's associated with them still.
OF.
She's still married to the Blade.
That's true. My pick.
She has a classy OF.
She's a very classy OF. There's no nudes on there. It's all bikini shots. So, Adam, my pick for the tag team that I would like to manage, I would love to manage the Acclaimed. Could you imagine? He comes out and he's like, listen.
You're the new daddy ass.
Listen. I'm like, yeah. Just like in the background, I get the scissor people.
That instantly become uncool.
Oh, they'd be like, dude, fuck this. But I'd get it for one night.
Dude, I mean, we're both in AEW. Our faction, our tag teams are going to feud.
Dude,
for
we could hang out in the back room. They'd be like,
I got heels, you got faces. This is happening.
Why do our managers get drunk all the time? We could be like Jake Snake Roberts in his prime. Oh, goodness. So, Adam, that is a wrap on 2023. We're in 2024.
Oh, yeah, it is.
For the 109th time, I have to ask you, what's on tap and where can you find
us? So, not a lot, because we went through a fucking New Year's party. Dude. But you can still get a little bit of the bubbly, which is our Bellini Brut IPA coming in at 9.2%.
Name change incoming.
Maybe. It's not. At least it's not called Jericho's Bellini Brut. It's just a reference. And other than that, we have a cream ale that we've just renamed. It was formerly called the CWO, but not, is now called Practical Effects.
I like that.
And that is our cream ale. It's on tap right now. We only have one keg of it at this time. So hit it up. Coming in at 5.2%. And it's just easy drinking cream ale. And then on the horizon, we are doing a oatmeal stout, an English dark mild, and an Irish red in the upcoming week. So by March, all of those will be available.
Nice. Nice. Awesome. If you guys go to Adam down here in the Brew Lab, it's at @Bash_Brew on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X. What's going on, boys down here in Judge Tony? We were at KNWTB on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok, YouTube. But everything else, we're on Good Pods too. Don't forget, we are your number one sports podcast on that app right now.
Hell yeah. I would just like to reiterate again, if you want to come watch the Royal Rumble down here, I think I just said that wrong, Royal Rumble down here in the Jugitorium, hit us up on the Instagram profile or the X profile. And Mr. Matt runs that. He will let me know, and we'll get a couple of you down here to join us for free beer, free food. It ain't going to be nothing fancy. A little bit of pizza, a little bit of wings probably. But
hey, man, but nothing hurts
less than pizza and wings. Yeah, and we also play a really fun Royal Rumble drinking game. So
which
you'll
you
be
can
in
be a part
that.
Of if you come up here. Yeah.
So if you're interested at all in the Royal Rumble or wrestling and love this podcast, come hang out with me and a couple of my buds and
come hang out.
We'll have a fun time.
So where we are right now, ringing 2024 with our new goals, new mindsets, and cheese stick addiction. Until next time.
Oh, Monty Sticks.
Cheers.
Cheers. Can you take? But you're this much taller than me in real life.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm just giving you clips. Like, you should be. So you have a short torso. I have a long torso.
No. I have a long.
I have short legs. And a long torso. Because look at that. On the screen right now, I'm like 3 foot. And there's only 2 foot of legs.
That doesn't make any fucking sense. Well, you're sitting down. You're also sitting down.
Yeah, but that's all torso. All that torso.
Look at all that torso.
Look at all that torso.